This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
So, why do I love the church? I love the church because it's amazing. There never has been, there never will be anything like the church. It's unique, and you know, there's very few things that you can genuinely call unique. The church draws together countless wildly diverse people and then brings them together for a common purpose. It just so happens that that common purpose is the most important purpose in the entire universe, and that is to love and worship the one who created the universe and everything and everyone in it, to demonstrate that creator's character in the world, and to recruit others to do the same. So you know from your theology class, you know all these contrasts, these statements. The church is universal and yet it's local. It's invisible, but it's visible. It spans all time and eternity. It has organization, but it's not an organization. It is a organism. It's living, breathing. The church transcends every human division. Age, gender, ethnicity, culture, socioeconomic level, nationality, you name it. Paul says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and is through all and is in you all." So the church is so amazing that, you know, there's all these labels and pictures in Scripture. You know, just all trying to get different facets of it. The people of God, the saints, the bride of Christ, we heard about. Living stone, spiritual house, holy priesthood, the family of God, God's temple. And the one that is described at some length in 1 Corinthians 12. Which one is that one? The body, right? The body of Christ. I like this picture because it emphasizes something that's really amazing about the church. And that is that Christ, through the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit in those who belong to Him, continues His work on earth. Even though He's not here bodily. Now, when He was here at Calvary on Easter morning, He accomplished the once-for-all redemptive work that only He could do. That part of His work is finished. But what else did He do during those 3 years? He showed people what God is like. He said, if you see Him, you would see His Father. He showed God's character, God's love and holiness and perfection. And by extension, He also showed what evil was, and He called people on it. You've heard this, but I tell you this, and He would show how it's not just the actions, it's even the thoughts and the intentions. Another thing Jesus did was He preached the kingdom of heaven. He was always pointing people to the Word, to the truth. He, the living Word, was constantly speaking the Word. He made it clear that the Word, we have to have the Word. It's living bread. It nourishes us. We starve without it. And of course, we know that Jesus came, as He said, to seek and save the lost. Okay, so that's what He did. Now we're His body on earth, and we're Jesus' body. But, I mean, is the church actually carrying out that work? And this is when you begin to think about all those imperfections. What about the legalism? What about the racism? What about the, you know, on and on? How about the people who go to church like it's a club? And what about denominations? Why are there so many? All that kind of stuff. And you can almost begin to think we're failing. We're not achieving what we're supposed to be doing. But the reality is these things happen. They start happening in Acts. You read them in the epistles, study the annals of church history, and you'll find all kinds of glaring failures right there along with the spread of the gospel. And that's the point. the Holy Spirit of Christ, as Jesus promised his disciples that his Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost like fire, and then the gospel spread like fire, starting with Peter's sermon, and it never stopped, and it spread like wildfire all over the known world, and it kept spreading, and, you know, this kingdom would come up, and this emperor, and all of this, and they would often, different religions, they would try to stamp out that fire, but they never did, and they never will, and sometimes it seemed like the church was, you know, having problems and that it was stamping it out, but it never has and it never will. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world and then the end will come. The gates of hell are going to keep trying to prevail, but they never have and they never will. And so if we're not seeing the church as amazing and actually succeeding, we might be looking through the wrong lens. We need to see the church the way the Lord does, and we heard some on that this morning. It was great. You know, where Paul says that no one ever hates his own body, Jesus certainly doesn't. And my challenge for you when you look at the church is always see the bride through the eyes of the bridegroom. Does the bridegroom see imperfections, the sin of the bride? Of course he does. But remember, he already died to pay the penalty for our sins, for the sin of the church. He's faithful and just and forgives us our sins as we confess them. We have to take sin seriously and be quick to repent and long for holiness. And remember that we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us stand against temptation and sin. But we're not defined by our sin as new creations in Christ. And neither is the church defined by her imperfections. So you might say, okay, well, I get it, but it's really getting hard out there and it's getting harder. And you know, there seem to be so few of us compared to the billions who don't know about Christ, and some of them are absolutely hostile to that. They don't want anybody to know about Christ. How can the church, with all its frailties, and it just seems like so few of us, carry out our mission, our commission, against such daunting odds? Well, here's where I want to give you one more picture, an illustration that I was privileged to hear Dr. Tony Evans share at a banquet for pastors last fall. Okay, now this is an illustration, and let's agree up front what we know from hermeneutics. No parable, no analogy, no metaphor can match with reality on every single point. We shouldn't force it to, okay? But I think this is cool, so stay with me. Those who know me, me giving a football story is really hilarious, but here we go. Picture this. The crowds gather in the huge stadium for the pro football game. The two teams come pouring out on the field along with the coaching staffs. These are the key actors in the drama, right? These are the people with the power. These are the ones we're going to focus on. And the question is, which team will win? What team of players and what coaching staff has enough power, strategy, whatever it takes to conquer the opponents? And Dr. Evans said, isn't this the way we view the church sometimes? That we're out there on the playing field of life and we're fighting for our lives against a lot of teams like the world, the flesh, and the devil. Who are the coaches? Well, they're our pastors, our teachers, our youth leaders. They're the ones who teach and coach and strategize and cheer on the players. And the players, well, that's everybody in the church. You know, the lay people, the people who live and work in a world where, you know, a lot of people are uninterested or maybe even hostile to anything that has to do with Jesus. So, but together, there we are together, players and coaches in a battle. Now, we know in the end God wins. But for now, it's rough. And we're getting bruised. And even when we seem to win, you know, then there's the next game. But Dr. Evans said, take one more look at that field. Who are the people on the field who really have the power? Who holds the real authority on the field? The coaches? The players? It's those guys in the striped shirts. It's the refs. What the ref says goes. The refs have the last word. I guess, you know, in a way you could say the refs have the authority to bind and loose. But hang on, because there's one more point. The truth is that even the refs don't have authority in themselves. Who holds the ultimate authority for how games are played in pro football and what rules are set and enforced? Answer, NFL headquarters in Manhattan. The reality is that the real power figures in the NFL may not even be physically present in the stadium, except they are present through their representatives, the refs. The refs carry out their work and wield their power, but with the authority of the National Football League. And what do refs do? Well, first of all, they flat out retard evil. Without the refs, the inherent violence of the game could get to be just outright savagery. And okay, some of us think it's pretty savage the way it is, but take out all the rules, take out the flags for the penalties, it could just get impossible. The refs keep the passions and the aggression and the determination to win at any cost in check. They make sure that nothing is hidden. They make sure that light shines to make sure there is order and fairness. And the refs base everything on the rules. We could say they point to the truth. Now, everybody's supposed to know the rules, but you get out there and you're there to win. But the refs know those rules, and there are a lot of rules. And they make sure the game is played by the book. And of course, part of their role is simply to physically represent the NFL on the fields. The refs are like little gods out there, but like we said, always a reflection of the league. They remind the coaches and the players and even the fans that there's one way, a right way, the league way. Tony Evans suggested that instead of seeing the church as a beleaguered players battling out endless stream of brutal battles with the enemy, that we ought to see ourselves as the refs, as representatives of Almighty God. And then what does that mean that our role is? Well, first, we demonstrate the character of God. We show what he is like by the way we live. We show his goodness and mercy and truth and justice and holiness, his compassion, his love. And we do that. We've been doing that, and we still do that. Don't look for perfection, but look for countless ways that the church through the millennia has shown the characteristics of God, not of the devil, and made that contrast. And in doing that, we retard evil. And we do. Come on now. Take all the Christians out of the world. Take all the churches out of the world. I'm not trying to do a rapture thing here, but, you know, what would that be like? What would that be like? It would be unlivable. It would be, I don't know, very close to, it would be unlivable. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. He showed people God's character, but he also said that we are the light of the world, and also that we're the salt of the earth. The church is doing that, has been, will continue. Another thing is we're people of the book. The Word of God is preached and taught and studied in churches all over the world. Now, don't leap to the cases, you know, whether this on TV, and you know, or I was in this church when I was a kid and the truth was mangled, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But the fact is that countless churches gather all over the world. And the saints, the people of God, come together around the Word of God. And not only that, the church supports people in ministries that gets the Bible into the hands of people everywhere. And then, of course, as representatives of the King, we point people to Him. He came to seek and save the lost, and we do the same. We care about the lost. We pray for them. We share the gospel with them. You say, well, I know Christians who aren't doing that. Well, somebody's doing it because people are coming to know Jesus all the time. We have to remember that His Spirit is at work always. And we're joining in partnership with what God is doing. And it's not just evangelism. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. And the church, in so many ways, is helping people come to know Christ and then to grow in daily loving companionship with Him. We do it here, we do it all over the world. So it is true that, like the refs, we're relatively few in numbers compared to the size of the task. Yep. But Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to Him. He sent His Spirit. He is at work. There's a lot of us out there, a lot of refs, and more coming into our number all the time. I have the feeling when Dr. Cashin talks, he will talk about how many former Muslims are joining the ranks of the refs. And they can referee games in places where some of us could never get to. You just don't ever have to worry. God will see to it that His global mission is achieved. So my prayer is that all of us, whether you like, you know, the illustration or not, that we'll see the church as the amazing creation that it is, that we are, and see that we're not failing. Individual failures, yes. Church failures, yes, sure, always. You'll get a chance to talk about some of those. We're not saying they don't exist. Reverend Gentino yesterday said that the church is always going to be kind of messy because it's full of sinners like us saved by grace. But what we are saying is take the big picture. See what is happening all over the world. See what God is doing and take heart and play your part. And that's my, as a Christian education person, that's my other prayer for you. You who are the current and the future leaders of the church, no matter what your calling is, whether you become a pastor, you know, work in a church or not, you are leaders in the church. And I'm hoping you'll be excited to help the people of God understand what the church really is. I'll be honest, I'm not sure everybody gets that. You say, well, some people think the church is just a building. Okay, that's our job. Let's help them understand that that's not it and see the church as it is. Does it seem like, you know, some people in the church aren't carrying out their roles as representatives of Christ? Well, maybe they haven't yet fully understood how much they've been forgiven, how wonderful it is to belong to Jesus, and then your life pours out in gratitude to Him. It could be that. You know what? Some of them may not have ever been really equipped to know how to play their part, to be a ref, to be a witness and a disciple maker. That's our job. Talk to them. Paint the vision. model it, come alongside, equip the saints, and recruit more reps. This is why Dean Swift and everyone wanted us to focus on the church this week, because we want you to have a clear picture of what the church is. Have that clear picture to also love the church, and then to go out and to help others do that as well. The church is amazing, and how could it not be? For the Lord of the church, the head of the church, is so incredibly amazing. Press on, guys.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.